Greetings and welcome to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit, where you will discover what it takes to start, build, and fund your nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Chaney, and today we're going to talk about a user-friendly website and why that is important to a nonprofit. And my guest today is Nancy Nungari of Naga Digital, a business that offers digital marketing, consulting, training, and done-for-you content services. Using her signature ABC system, she works with companies that want to capitalize on the power of digital content for customer acquisition and retention. Born and raised in Kenya, East Africa, Nancy is currently based in Germany, where she's lived for more than 20 years. And in her spare time, she indulges in self-care and her passion for personal development and creativity. Nancy is also a podcaster, published author, and certified coach. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra. Wow, what an introduction. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are so very welcome. I'm excited to talk about website and digital content and the importance of that, to a nonprofit. But before we get into that, I just want the listeners to know a little bit more about you, because I did have a chance to go on your website. I did have a chance to see a little bit more about who you are. So I just want you just to share a little bit more about Nancy. And who you are in this world of, because you actually owned a bookstore before you got into internet and online digital content. So share a little bit more about who you are.
Okay. So on a personal level, I'm born and raised in Kenya, East Africa, as you mentioned. And I've been living in Germany. Well, I've been based in Europe for the last 20 years. So personally, that's who I am. I'm a believer and I geek out on the internet, but I'm also very creative. So there's both sides of that. And the way I got into digital marketing or websites and content was, as you mentioned, I had a bookshop here in Germany, a Christian bookshop, where I sold English and German books. And that was back in around 2008 when the recession hit, when the global recession hit, and I could no longer keep up. That was when the whole e-commerce was really big and Amazon became a competitor that I could no longer, keep up with. People were ordering their books from Amazon. It started to become a thing. And so, some would come to the shop and say, I want to get this gift, but oh, I ordered this book from Amazon and it was cheaper. And I would always feel really annoyed. I'm like, support your local businesses, But after a while, it was pretty obvious that, the trend was just that's where we were heading. So that was in 2008. So I decided, okay, well, if you can't beat them, then you have to join them. So I went ahead and wrote my first book. And I closed the bookshop because it was just no longer viable. A lot of bookshops, in the meantime have closed down even after me. And I took my business online. And that's how I got into more as far as, digital marketing. I just got into the trenches and I started, learning, okay, now that I don't have a brick and mortar store, how do we do this whole online thing? So that's the brief history of how I, life just made me get into digital marketing. And in the meanwhile, I got certifications and I really learned the ropes and I love it. I love, all things tech. I geek out on that actually, but I even my own websites. And of course, in the meantime, you get help, but that's, a little bit of the professional background.
Wow. You had to pivot, which I think in any business, even in the nonprofit world, you have to learn how to pivot. And now that we're, in COVID, I do notice that a lot of nonprofits are getting online. Like I had a meeting with a nonprofit recently and they're doing a lot of their services online right now because they're not able to do like support groups and things in person anymore. So digital content and being online is very important, but why so for a nonprofit?
Why so for a nonprofit? As you said, like right now we are pivoting is really, it's not just a, like a fancy word. It's like literally, the world has been forced to go online. And even without even digital content, a website is like, it's the basis of being online because a lot of people, you know, like some of my clients would say, oh, I use social media, but social media is not our real estate. And so, especially for nonprofits right now, people want to trust, you know, people do business, they support organizations who they know, they like and trust. And the fact that we cannot meet, you know, like real, you know, people cannot walk into an office or there's limited, you know, personal interaction, we've been forced, the whole world has been forced to go online. So a nonprofit that doesn't have a website is actually telling the world, you know, I don't exist and I don't want to be found. Because a website is like, it's your home, it's your own little real estate, you know, where people can come and at least get a first impression. And especially for nonprofit, where trust is so important, people want to know, you know, who are you? What are you all about? And, you know, having flyers and business cards, you know, that is so, we're not doing that anymore. You know, we don't do flyers. And so
we don't.
Not really.
Or even brochures, really. Because, you know, back in the day, nonprofits would have brochures and, you know, and things like that. Because I used to have a nonprofit and I was very happy with my brochure because I thought it was the bomb. But even now, people don't want that. Because first of all, it's a lot of paper. Yes. But secondly, like you just said, we're online now. We have been forced to go online.
Yes.
So yeah, when you life said that, just made me laugh.
Yeah, life is happening online. So a website is it's no longer like a luxury, you know, like back in the days, like for me back in 2008, you know, where you're like, okay, it's an alternative. It's not a luxury. It's literally a necessity. It's a necessity. So especially for nonprofits, again, to go back with the trust issue, it's the virtual impression that people, at least the first impression before they even get on the phone or even go on a Zoom, you know, or join a community. Mm-hmm. The website it's the hub. That's the hub where everything is happening.
I love that. It's the hub where everything is happening because, again, the nonprofit I spoke to, they have like different offices in different states. So basically, you know, they have their location, but their employees are mm-hmm. in different states. So mm-hmm. they do everything virtually. They do everything online. They have chapters and they bring their chapters together online. So that is their hub. I like that you said that, and that's a good way of looking at it. So what makes a good website for a nonprofit? Because I have seen some websites mm-hmm. that are very hard to navigate right. or not even user-friendly whatsoever. What right. is a good user-friendly website? Because I think that's also confusing for nonprofits, what to put on the website. They don't know what to put on there.
Okay, that's a great question. User-friendly is the key word you said. And sometimes when we hear user-friendly, we're thinking technology, you know. But it really starts with clearly communicating the vision. Because again, people don't buy, you know, they don't buy what we're doing. They buy why we're doing it, you know. And people will support not just what we're doing, but why. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? That's what people buy into. So
can you elaborate on that more? Like you just said, they don't mm-hmm. buy what you're doing. They're buying why. Yes. Can you elaborate just a little bit more on that for people Absolutely. Who might be like, what does she mean by that?
Absolutely. As human beings, we want to be part of a bigger picture. We want to be part of a bigger vision, right? And for especially like for nonprofit, it's about changing other people's lives. So, you know, you could have a nonprofit and you're like, oh, we're looking for people to help us to create a soup, you know, a soup kitchen. We need, you know, donors. But they just don't want to know about the soup kitchen that you need to go and buy potatoes and carrots. They want to know the story. You know, why do you need a soup kitchen? Who is, you know, how am I going to be part of a bigger picture? What is it? What is the story behind the soup kitchen? So that is the why. They're not really supporting the soup kitchen per se. They're actually supporting mm-hmm. the people who are going to get help. They need a warm, you know, a warm meal a day. Those are human beings. Those are, you know, it's real people with a real story. And people will buy into the story behind the soup kitchen and not just the soup kitchen itself. Mm-hmm. So profit is just, they just have on their website, oh, you know, help us, you know, we need donors to put up the shelter. You know, here's the donate button. But you haven't communicated the vision. And what I mean by the vision is you asked a question earlier, like, what do they need to put in there? There's three key things that a nonprofit should have, I believe they should have on their website. And that is the why, the who, and the how. The why is the vision. What is the story? I keep using the, I'm just going to use the soup kitchen. What is the story behind the soup kitchen? You know, who decided to start it and why? What made this nonprofit, you know, the board members or the individual, what made them start that? You know, what is the why behind that soup kitchen? So that is one thing that the nonprofit needs to put, the story behind the organization, because we love stories, because we can identify with them, we can find ourselves or other people, and we can be part of the bigger picture. So that is the why. Then the next thing that a good nonprofit organization, or even any business, is the who. Whose life is being changed? Who is going to benefit from this soup kitchen? You know, who is the person mm-hmm. that actually I'm part of their lives? Who are the people? Who are these individuals? You know, like, is it somebody who lost their job because of COVID and now they are living under the bridge and they have a family, they have children, they've been living in a hotel, but they cannot afford to, you know, feed their five children? You know, what is the story? Like, who is behind, who is being supported, whose life is being changed? Actually, that's the thing. And then the last thing, the third thing they definitely need to put in there is how can the visitor or the donor, how can they be part of this vision? It's not like, how can you donate, just having a PayPal button, you know, again, mm-hmm. that's just the word, but the how can this visitor, besides just donating like $5, because anybody can donate $5, but how can a visitor be a long-term partner of this vision of changing lives with, which starts with a simple soup kitchen? It's a meal, a warm meal, you know, it sounds simple, but there's a story beyond that, you know, about human beings feeling like they matter and not feeling embarrassed to go and, you know, ask for a meal because we're living mm-hmm. in tough times. So those are the three things that I would encourage any nonprofit or literally any organization, you know. It's the why, the who, and the how. The why, the story behind it. Who is this? Who is behind this thing? Whose life is being changed? And mm-hmm. how can the visitor or the donor, how can they support this long-term vision?
Wow. So, you know, I get this question a lot sometimes from especially new founders. They always mm-hmm. ask, can they just have like a one pager?
Mm-hmm.
That's as a web. I get that question a lot. Okay. Can I just put everything on one page? And does it matter if I have multiple pages? And my response to that, you know, always what you just said, you know, the why, you know, the what, you know, and the how, but you want to see the people, like the people behind it. Wouldn't you agree? Like you want to see who are the founders, you know, who are your board of directors, you know, and I would think that that would take more than one page, but I don't know. What's a good answer to that? Because I hear what they're saying. They're looking at funding and how much money am I going to have to spend on a website? That's what they're thinking.
Ah, yes. That is the question. That is the question of questions. People are like, oh, this is going to cost me so much. Is it even worth it? And then, you know, they're like, oh, do we really need one? We'll just put something together. To answer your question, like a one pager, you know, nowadays there's a lot of tools out there and you can actually even start, I would say start, you can start with a one pager, you know, because obviously the goal of a nonprofit is not to have the best website with all the bells and whistles. It's about helping people's lives, about changing mm-hmm. people's lives. So their priority might not necessarily be on a, you know, a stellar website, but at least have even that one pager. You know, today you can have like a long one page website where people are scrolling and you just, again, you put the story, put the picture. If you're just starting, put the picture of the founder, you know, because people mm-hmm. want to be part of that vision. Even if it's just one person, you're like, oh, we look like we're a small organization. That's okay. Just start somewhere and even mention, you know, this is, our website is not very fancy. It's not our priority right now. And that's why we need for you to support us, mm-hmm. you know, just be very transparent. I think that's a key thing with nonprofits, just being transparent and being upfront. And people understand because a nonprofit is a nonprofit. This business, if they can't have a good website, I don't know if I want to do business with them. It's different with a nonprofit. People understand that. So yes, you can have a one page, but at least have those three things and have some pictures. If you're one person, have your picture there. If you're, you have a board, some members, put the pictures of them there. Or even if the people you're supporting, if they allow that, you can even put a picture of them, like the founder, the first person they helped, or even people helping in the soup kitchen. If you don't want to put the picture of people who are vulnerable, they might not feel comfortable. And I don't really believe in that. Like in Africa, they have a lot of this, I like to call it poverty porn, where they're having children with tattered clothes and trying to use that to appeal to the people. I think, you don't have to dehumanize somebody in need by putting them out there and using them to get funds. You can put people who are helping the soup kitchen, just normal volunteers. And like, this is part of our team. This is part of the people who are helping us, so that way you're not putting vulnerable people out there on the web and using them to, to appeal to donors. So yes, have a one page by all means, but at least have those basics, the story behind the organization, some faces, some human beings behind it, Maybe it can even be the location. Put a picture of the location where you're, helping people to come and get some soup, or the person shopping in the supermarket, buying the things they needed. Just make it relatable. Again, people don't buy what we're doing. They buy why we're doing it and the people behind the whole thing. So yeah, start with a one page, but don't stop there.
Right. Yeah. That's really good. So we're going to take a commercial break and we're going to continue this conversation about the importance of a website. But I want to also talk about, we talked about what a good website looks like. When we come back, I want you to talk about, because I've seen some crazy websites. I really want you to share what not to do, honestly, or what a bad website would look like. Because again, I don't think people, they think they just slap something up there and it's okay, I did a website. But I want the listeners to really be clear on, even if it's a one pager, how it should look. So when we come back, we're going to delve into that question even further. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Statistics show that the most important asset as a successful business owner will be the relationships you build along the way. The Elite Conversations business community of seasoned and successful business owners and professionals will provide you a network of people with knowledge, resources, and the connections that can help take your business to the next level. Don't fall into the trap of frustration that results from being isolated and trying to figure things out on your own. Sign up for membership today and get connected with an awesome group of business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, and influencers. To learn more about the great benefits of being a part of the Elite Conversations business community, call 301-257-5792.
Are you looking to start a nonprofit and don't know where to begin? Or are you a nonprofit owner who's looking for funding? Greetings, I am Sandra Cheney, and I have over 20 years of experience helping nonprofits either find funding or helping you to create your nonprofit. Schedule a free 25-minute consultation with me, Sandra Cheney, a nonprofit consultant and funding strategist. You may contact me at www.sandracheney.com. Click on coaching and you'll see nonprofit strategists. I look forward to seeing you soon. So welcome back, everybody, to The Prophet in the Nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Cheney, and my guest today is Nancy Nugari, and she is the founder of Naga Digital, and we're talking about websites, user-friendly websites, and the importance of a website to a nonprofit. So if you're just joining us, Nancy did share in the first half of our show about what should go on, you know, your website, you know, your why, your how, your what, you know, all these things. But I want to talk about, you know, what's a bad website? What should not be on your website? You already talked about just a few minutes ago about not exploiting, you know, people just to gain money. Because I've seen that too. You know, we see the commercials, we mm-hmm. see the things on the websites. And I sometimes that, for me, makes me not want to give.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why is that though? Because you would think that would want to make somebody give, but I go the opposite direction when I feel like you are exploiting some, like, even if you are a nonprofit, and you know, and I'm like, okay, but like you just said a few minutes ago, you know, take pictures of your volunteers per mm-hmm. se, or take pictures of someone who has gone through your program mm-hmm. and has come out on the other side.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So can you talk about what should not go on your website that could really deter a donor?
What should not go on your website? Again, obviously, the human being, you always want to remember that behind every organization or behind every business, behind, you know, anything, even nonprofit, are people, real people with stories, and they are vulnerable people. And a lot of, you know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, the more pathetic looking, I'm not saying that in a derogatory mm-hmm. way, but you know, the more sob story, that's a better word, probably, the more sob, you know, the more really just bad the person looks, that maybe I'll tag, you know, we'll be able to target the hearts of the people. Like I mentioned, you know, they have children mm-hmm. in Africa with tattered clothes and, you know, maybe flies, and but you know, when you think about it and think, this person, I want to help this person, but when they come out of this situation, is this the kind of picture that would make them feel like people care about me, or is my poverty or my vulnerability being used to target the hearts of people? And I think that's for mm-hmm. all nonprofits, that's really important. You can put people, like you said, who have been through the program or who are in need, because you want to put faces, but try not to put them in their worst possible image, you know. Try not to put them in their most vulnerable state, you know. Just honor their dignity. That's basically what I can say. And sometimes a lot of nonprofits, especially those who, you know, like I'm from Africa, who come there, they do that a lot. And we call it the savior mentality. And it's just wrong, because even the people who you're taking their pictures, they don't feel comfortable about that. And do they even know that you're going to use their pictures for whatever it is that you're putting out there? You know, the people. Another thing that nonprofits or anybody, any website, is just putting a whole lot of text, you know.
Yes.
A lot of text and no, you know, no, it's not optimized, you know, like you have don't have any pictures, it's confusing, you know, it's not you know, think about it. It's a website is like your home. So if the website is just only text and a lot of confusing, no structure, it's like inviting people into your home and they're like, oh, okay, where can I sit? Because it's all stuff on the chair, you know, just to use right. a picture. You know? So you want to make it at least clean. You know, sometimes, actually not sometimes, often less is more. So you don't want to have all these pictures of everything and then it takes too long to load, you know, because the pictures are not optimized. You want to have optimized pictures. It's because people get impatient online. You might have somebody who's a potential donor, but your website is taking ages to load because you have these pictures you took with your phone. Nothing wrong with taking pictures, but at least optimize them, you know, resize them so that they're not, you know, causing the website mm-hmm. to drag and take too long to load. So that's
mm-hmm. I'm laughing because my very first website that I did myself, because mm-hmm. of course, you know, I was trying to save dollars, had a lot of text on it, and that's why I'm laughing. And I remember someone saying to me, no one's going to read all of that. Yeah. You're not going to read all of that. And it may hurt my little feelings. Because you know, I to me, I thought I was doing something by describing everything, describing every service and putting everybody's bio on there. Like, I really had a wordy website. And she was right. Nobody really came to the website because it was, and they didn't know where to go to donate. They didn't know why they should donate. They did, all they saw was a bunch of texts.
Okay.
And very few pictures. That's why I started laughing. I don't do that now, but yes, you are so right. People don't want to read that.
And maybe at that moment, maybe when they visit the website, they might not have the time. It depends on your audience, you know, because professionals, they want to read up a little bit on who you are and what is all this about. And obviously, if I want to part with my money, then I want to know a little bit more. So as you said, you can have a bit of text, or even better, if you have a lot of details, put them in like in a PDF that somebody can download, print it out. And in their, you know, spare time while they're looking at their checkbook and deciding, okay, what do I want to support this month? They can look at everything, you know, the story behind there, you know, have a short, you know, a short, quick, digestible content, you know, text, but then give the people an option to download the long version. Because some people, you know, we have different learning styles, you know, we're auditory, some people like to watch, some people like to listen. So that's another thing about what should go on a website. Give your visitors different ways to consume your content. You could have a short video. You could even have an audio. It doesn't have to be like a podcast like you're doing. I used to do that when I had the bookshop. I used to write a newsletter. And then people, you know, I'd always get feedback. I'd ask them, you know, how is the newsletter? Is it okay? And they're like, you know what? I don't have time to read all that. It's a bit long. I actually haven't read your last three or four newsletters because I used to write stories. And so I thought, could put this in an audio that people could listen at the gym or when they're walking the dog. And that's how I got into podcasting in 2014. Again, I pivoted by just a need, you know, I instead of writing, I did write, but then I also just recorded it, you know, in an audio, and people can listen while they're cooking, while they're doing the driving. They can also listen to that. And it doesn't have to be a podcast where the person is like, oh, I don't know how to do this. A simple audio, you know, and then just upload to the website, that's good enough. So that's another thing that nonprofits should not put, just long text and images that are not optimized, you know.
Right. So I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because you already said that a website is a hub. It's like a house, if you will, you know, for nonprofits. Could a website for a nonprofit also, because I don't think they think about branding or marketing or any of that when it comes to, you know, their websites. Should that be like a focus? Like, should this be a part of their branding, you know, when they're, you know, out there? So again, I've been in a lot of nonprofit meetings, and I've been, you know, in some trainings and things like that. And I've heard, you know, nonprofit owners go, well, yeah, we have a website, but it's really not up and running. Oh, here's my card. Or like, they don't really see their nonprofit as important or as a part of their branding. Should they?
Absolutely.
I'm trying to tell you, the questions and things that I hear from nonprofit, because they feel like that's money, because they have to get it built, or either they have to find a way to, you know, to have it be hosted and all these other things. And to me, this is one way for you to actually get donors, because although you said the social media isn't the only way, but even on social media, you want to put your website on there. Because this is how you're going to raise money as well. Right. And that's why I asked the question that, is it part of their branding and why?
Good question, Sandra. Absolutely. Not only is it part of their branding, it's not a luxury. Again, it's a necessity, especially in these days that we're living in the days of, you know, COVID lockdowns and everybody just being online. Because what do we do? Let's say you go to a networking event or something, somebody gives you their card. The first thing you're going to do when you get home is, you know, check out their website. You're not going to call them. You know, there's a telephone. You're not going to email them yet. you know, because you don't know who this person is. So marketing is about, somebody said, Jan Jensen, marketing is getting people to know, like, and trust you. And it's not about them just buying your products. Again, it's them supporting the vision, buying into your vision. So when you meet people, even if they say, here's my business card, if I meet someone, they give me a business card and there's no website, I'll just probably throw that card in the bin or just put it somewhere and that's it. But if there's a website for me to go and take a look, you know, that's where people can't, they get to learn more. They get to have an impression and information about who you are, you know, what is your organization and how they can be part of it. So a website is absolutely, it is definitely, if not the main thing as far as branding, and you know, besides colors, because when we talk about branding, people are thinking about colors and logos.
Yes.
That's all good. But actually, branding is what people think about your product, your brand, your organization when you're not there. That's really what branding is. Impression people have about your organization when you're not there. So it's not just the colors. That's good. You know, that's, you know, it's the bells and whistles. But really, it's who you are. That's the brand is who you are. And that's, what a better way for people to find that out than a website. Who are you? Why don't you have a website? I mean, even kids have websites these days.
I know.
you could tell them, oh, we're on social media. But social media, to pick up on what you said earlier, it's not our real estate, you know. And I did a short video about that recently, you know, based off on what happened to the former president of the United States. Social media, they can decide anytime to take down your pages, and there's nothing we can do about it. You know, these sites are free. I say free with, you know, with inverted, you know, with tongue in cheek, because we all know if something is free, we are the product. So profit, if you want to be professional, and you want to be professional because you want to attract professionals, people who are willing to part with their money for a good cause, you're changing lives, that at least you should be able to afford a website. And if not, tell your donors, tell them, you know what, this is our one page, but we're looking for one or two people who are going to commit to our website, and this is how much we need, and these are the amount of donors, and people will do that. I mean, that's what donors do, right? They support the cause. So in, you know, for a nonprofit to say we don't have the money, I think that's the wrong side. They're looking at it wrong, because then put up one page and tell your donors, we need someone to commit for a year. I mean, it takes about what, 200 to 300 euros, or dollars, for a year. You can say, we need someone who's going to commit to that for this year. And you might be surprised, you might have more than one donor, you know, and you have your website covered, you know, somebody, of course, a website host and somebody to take care of it. And they'll feel good that they're part of it. You know, you want to reward them and say, this is what we're doing. This is what your money has helped us do. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate you really elaborating on that, because I do get pushed back sometimes, you know, from nonprofit, you know, owners. And I think that, or especially new ones, I think that it is so important. Like you just said, just put up a one pager, you know, I mean, you literally can, there's so many tools out there to be able to do that right now, that makes it easier for you to do that. You know, just get it one, and like you said, and then ask your donors to help you. So that's awesome. Is there anything else that the audience should understand, or anything else you want to impart to the audience in these last few minutes that we have about the importance of a website?
What I would say is, you mentioned earlier on, you know, people say, oh, we have a website, but it's not up and running. In the marketing, in the digital marketing, you know, consultants in my work, we call it website shame, you know. I have clients that are like, I have a website, but I don't know, it's not good enough. And so we call it website shame. And what I would say is, we need to get over the website shame, you know, because oftentimes, you know, organizations or companies, they'll be judging themselves more harshly than their audience. So I would say that done is better than perfect. Even if you have that one page, start, you know, work with what you have, because isn't that the whole philosophy behind a nonprofit? You know, whatever you have, that's what you work with, right? We're not making profit here. We're changing lives. And if we can change, you know, one life with $5, we're not going to wait until we have 100 to have everything sorted out. We're going to use what we have. So if you have, even if it's a one pager, get over the website shame and just put it out there, you know, not getting caught up in procrastinating and thinking, oh, we need to polish it, it needs to look better. You know, at least just put it out there, have your vision, have a contact, and how the people can support what you're doing. And then you'll see, you know, people will come on and support the vision, communicate the vision clearly, and they're going to run with it. So that's what I would say, getting over the website shame or thinking, oh, it's such a huge project, you know, we don't have the money. Just start somewhere. Like you said, there are tools today where you can literally do it yourself at home. That's what you have to start with, but start somewhere. And done is always, always better than done is better than perfect. Always.
Love that. Done is always better than perfect. And that's how we're going to end. I love it. So how can people reach you if they want to work with you?
Well, they can go to my website. That's www.nagadigital.com or they can follow me on, you know, LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn or all social media handles at nagasocial.com. Sorry.
And Naga is N-A-G-A. Right.
Yes, that's a shortening of my name. So N-A-G-A social. So I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram, or they can just visit my website, nagadigital.com.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for being on the show. I appreciate you and for your wealth of information and knowledge. And I want to thank my listening audience for tuning in on this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit. To receive a 25-minute consultation from yours truly, please visit my website at sandrachaney.com. And remember this, an inspired and successful nonprofit leader is a leader who remembers their why and works from the inside out, because it truly is an inside job. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for having me.